Travis Cottrell has spent 20 years in the music industry, 10 years as worship leader for Living Proof Live Events, and now 30 minutes in the Inside Lifeway studio. Stay tuned. Welcome to Inside Lifeway, the official news podcast of Lifeway Christian Resources. I'm your host, Brooklyn Knoll. Travis Cottrell arrived in Nashville, Tennessee with big dreams of seeing his name in lights. As he tells it, God had other plans. Now, not quite 20 years later, Travis has made quite a name for himself in the Christian music industry with Dove Award nominations, a solo album, and an October 7th Christmas CD release. But it is perhaps his work with a certain women's ministry leader by the name of Beth Moore for which he is best known. Travis is taking a break from a busy touring schedule today and is here today in the Inside Lifeway studio. Travis, thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
So, you've been singing for a while now, but obviously it dawned on you at some point that you could sing. Do you remember that moment? Were you a kid?
I remember being the lion in The Wizard of Oz when I was in kindergarten, and I think it was by default. I think they just passed out, masks, and I ended up being the lion and singing, and I really kind of liked it, and I think, we had little magical yellow brick moment, and that's kind of the first memory I have of singing, but my whole family was very musical, so I don't really remember not being surrounded by music.
Now, you grew up in a Christian home?
I did.
A singing Christian home?
I did.
Okay.
And I came along late in life for my parents. Mm-hmm. They were 45 and 40 when I was born.
Okay.
And I had a brother, I have a brother 18 years older, and then two sisters,
my.
14 and 12. Yeah. So I grew up, and they were, they were singing in youth choir. My siblings were, my parents in the adult choir in church. Mm-hmm. Just church and music and Jesus, it all just, went together for me from the beginning.
I'm kind of picturing the Von Trapp family, to be honest.
Yes, the Southern Von Trapp.
Right. What did you dream of being when you grew up? Not a cowardly lion, I'm assuming.
Not, well, maybe a little bit. I loved theater, and I loved music, and I can't really say that I know what I dreamed of. I just loved music. I loved to sing, and I always had kind of a sanguine personality, so music and people kind of went hand in hand. So church music looked really different when I was growing up than it looks now. So I didn't know if I wanted to be a music minister, but kind of the way that looked, 20 years ago wasn't necessarily what I would have thought I wanted, but I'm really thankful how it turned out.
Now, did you grow up with very traditional hymns and kind of the numbers and flip through?
Yeah. And I love
verses
that.
Verses 1, 3, and 5 kind of.
I'm a little bit of a traditional boy that's, posing as a contemporary worship leader
because
I loved my church growing up. I loved my worship leader, was called the choir director back then. He was the Kern's bread man by day and the choir director on the weekend.
And bivocational ministry.
Exactly. He was awesome, and his leadership, just real heart-led leadership, made me fall in love with church music, but it really made me fall in love with hymns and really, really any kind of song that helped people connect to God.
So you came to Nashville, actually to finish college
right.
in Belmont, right?
Mm-hmm.
At what point in that process did you kind of hear God calling you into something specific from a music perspective, or was there a point?
I'm still waiting for that specific call.
Really?
In kind of a way, not really, but when I was graduating from college, I knew that maybe the Lord was calling me into some kind of singing. I wasn't really sure. Out of college, I did the Metropolitan Opera auditions, and I was even kind of considering some avenues like that, and was being kind of pulled in a few different directions by different people who had some level of authority over my life, that were speaking
into my life.
And dreams
for you, no doubt.
Right, right. And so I just began to pray and ask the Lord to lead me, and I was attending a church here in Nashville, and we lost our worship pastor, which was really a blow to me because he was a close friend, but I stepped in and began to do like an interim thing at that church, and that's when
it's
a big church, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But that's when kind of the lights went on, and I began to really be moved to. I began to feel that call that to do more than just sing. Okay. Because I've always loved to sing, and I still do. Mm-hmm. But it's the connecting with people that I really love, and I feel like leading worship, being a worship leader, mm-hmm. it's just no better place to be where you are connecting to the Lord and connecting to people at mm-hmm. the same time and helping them connect to the Lord as well.
And how does that come into play? Because you write songs and musicals, right. Even full musicals. So how does that come into play, this connecting between the Lord and people? How does that work when you write?
Well, you know, I just, when I'm writing, I'm mainly a music guy. Mm-hmm. So I have lyricists that I write with a lot. But okay. When we're writing a song, we're working on a song, we mm-hmm. really try to take a really practical approach. You know, mm-hmm. is this a song that people are going to need to be able to sing? Or is this a song that people will just listen to that an artist or a singer would sing and people would kind of respond in their hearts? So once mm-hmm. we get those lines and those boundaries defined, then we go from there. And we really just take a practical approach of what works, what communicates, and what's going to be the best way to help people find a place of worship in this particular moment.
How is it different from doing, I know you sing in the choir when you're in town in your home church.
Right.
How is that a different experience than, say, leading worship for a Bethmore event?
Well, there's no pressure singing in my choir, for one thing.
Okay.
I don't know. I find myself kind of emotionally in the same place. I mean, there mm-hmm. is, when I kind of am walking in a place of authority, I'm in a little bit more of a serious, you know, I feel really responsible to be obedient in every moment.
Which, of course, is probably good to hear.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so when I'm just serving at my church, it's just a real place of rest. It really is. It's a safe place, and it's a good place. I feel no pressure whatsoever. And even at the Living Proof, there's no pressure from man or woman or anybody. You know, it's just I really do hold in high regard mm-hmm. what I'm there to do, because all those women that are at those conferences are, you know, if you've got 10,000 women, you've got mm-hmm. 10,000 different experiences and expectations in the area of mm-hmm. worship. And mm-hmm. so trying to find that common denominator that we can all, you know, spring off of in our time of worship together it's a calling I hold in high regard.
Okay. It's been a number of years that you've been doing the Living Proof Live tours, working with Beth.
Right.
Can you remember back to that first meeting with Beth Moore? Were you introduced before the event, or was it just kind of a schedule? You're going to be the worship leader for this one. You'll meet her a day ahead.
Well, we had met like 3 or 4 years before our events actually started. Maybe we should find her and get her to tell that story.
Okay.
But yeah, a lady that works here at Lifeway just called, and I had been leading worship for some other events mm-hmm. here at Lifeway, and she said, we have this lady, you know, we're going to do some women's events. Her name's Beth Moore, and I knew I had met Beth, and mm-hmm. would you do this? And my first question was, why, if it's a women's event, why don't you call a woman?
Sure.
It makes sense.
And you'll be one of 10 guys
so,
in the room.
Exactly,
right.
Exactly. 9 band members and me.
Right.
Really. And you know, she said, I've just really prayed about it, and I feel like you might be the right match. So we did that first event. I had no idea mm-hmm. what I was doing. I mm-hmm. still don't, but it was just like church with chicks, basically, is what it was. Just like leading worship, and it was all women out there. I really didn't know at that point how to mm-hmm. kind of craft the music and the worship experience to tailor make it for women.
For them.
But, you know, it was just church. You know, I was just trying to have church, you know.
Okay. Well, you mentioned getting Beth to tell that story, and as a matter of fact, she has agreed to join us today, and so we're just going to get her to tell that story, I think.
Awesome.
Hello?
Hi, is Beth there, please?
Yes, is she?
Hi, it's Brooklyn Knoll. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Beth Moore is joining us via phone today. Beth, thank you so much for being here.
So glad to be part of this. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. Travis has already told us that you tell the story of your working relationship and your initial meeting better than he does. So,
you know, it's always worrisome to me to come in on anything where Travis has already been talking and I didn't hear it.
Oh, he has done you very kindly. It's okay.
Oh, we give each other a very hard time, but we're real sweet about each other behind each other's back.
I see.
You hear of other people backstabbing ugly behind their back. We talk really nice, but to one another, we can really give each other a hard time.
Kind of a brother-sister thing.
You know, I think about that day so often, because have you ever come to love somebody just like blood family. I mean, it's close as a brother to you, and yet you think, you know, what if I had never met them? And that whole family, mm-hmm. I love Angela and the kids so much. I've been kept up on just the details of just mm-hmm. soccer games and kindergarten and all that kind of thing all right. these years. And I think, what if I'd have never come across that young man's path? Mm-hmm. And when LifeWay first began to talk to me about the conception for the events, they said, we've been thinking about a worship leader. Now, mm-hmm. mind you, at that time, Travis can certainly affirm this, there wasn't a lot of this kind of thing happening where we had a paradigm to look at for it.
Okay.
So it was really, we were trying to envision it ourselves and, mm-hmm. and just going with what they felt like God was showing them. And they mentioned this young man's name. They said, we were really thinking, we feel like God has led us to a young man by the name of Travis Cottrell. Do you know of him? And in that mm-hmm. moment, my mind did kind of a, like, you know, flipping through a Rolodex where it just goes boom, 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 and, you know, back to the T's.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, in my mind, I get a flashback of being at Two Rivers Baptist in Nashville when right. I was doing something with their choir. I'd been doing a women's conference that weekend. They'd asked me to stay over the next morning, and I was going to be doing something in their service. And so I went into the choir room, and, I mean, a large, I bet a couple hundred voices, Travis, wasn't it? I mean, that choir was large.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge church. So,
and
yeah.
this was big church.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn, I need you to understand, this was big church the boy was doing. and I see all of these voices, and it's a very, very talented mm-hmm. church. And, you know, they're practicing, and I look to see a guy that looks maybe 12 directing
Aww.
Them. And not only directing them, but I'll never forget it, because you know when you're just startled?
Sure.
When you think this must be one of those child prodigies, this has got to be, this isn't even right. But that young man opened his mouth, and I'm telling you, I heard a voice. And it turned out, of course, Travis still looks, you know, he looks like maybe 29 now. He just has always had an extremely young face. So he mm-hmm. wasn't, I get, Travis, were you in your early 20s at that time?
I was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he was a baby, but he's not 12, which is what I thought he was.
Right.
But, and we got to work together then. If you think about it, only God could have done that.
Well,
there's
sure.
no rhyme or reason to it. I'm old enough to be either a much, much older sister or his mother.
Okay. Well, he told me he has much older siblings, so maybe
he
that's
does.
Why this relationship works.
That
right.
works for you. I always say it depends on what's going on in their lives, whether I take the big sister role or the mother role.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I can switch off between them in just like lightning flash.
Which is likely why it works so well.
Yeah.
So, well, after he did that first Living Proof Live event with you, the rumor is that you sent a fax over to the women's events area here and just said, it's a match.
It's a match.
How did you know after that event?
You know, when you asked me that question, just that immediately a lump came into my throat. And this is when I really hate that he's on here, because these are the kinds of things I like to say behind his back. And but truly, it was. And I'll tell you a couple of things that have made it work. Even in the beginning, Travis has a tremendous gift. You know, of course, I'm going to be partial, but I do not know of another worship leader more gifted at being able to blend kinds of music mm-hmm. and the contemporary, which is, you know, I have always that I've always said, if he does anything wild that somebody doesn't like, it's my fault, not his. I'm the one with that taste. But he does that wonderful blend of contemporary and mm-hmm. traditional. I loved that. I also loved the fact, you know, he's obviously so gifted, such a
sure.
beautiful, beautiful voice. I don't know how often you see someone who is a worship leader that is also that much of a vocalist, that much of a
mm-hmm.
soloist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just like, whoa,
mm-hmm.
Just stunning. But what I think what made forever friends, and truly the Moores and the Cottrells are just joined at the hip till death, and hope that all our apartments are near one another when we get to heaven, is the fact that he was also just so much fun, so hilarious, and
mm-hmm.
and godly. You know, these are people that just totally dig Jesus Christ.
Right.
And don't think that humor is, is unholy. That you can still just be, just flatly hilarious and just love Jesus with all of your heart. And so it's been, I'm going to tell you, I'm a sanguine, and so is he. Mm-hmm. So to us, a big factor was, is it fun?
Okay.
I don't want to do anything for 10 years that's not fun.
Well, no.
And we think that to get a bunch of people together and to worship together and getting God's Word together, it's not only important, not only vital, mm-hmm. but it is the biggest blast we ever have in all of life.
Mm. Hmm. It's true.
Well, and Travis, when you step on stage with Living Proof Live, obviously you know that Beth Moore is going to be there. She is there.
She is usually in the room, yes.
Yeah. Well, yes, in the room. But how do you structure in that moment? I mean, do you adjust it to the crowd? Do you just let it go at that point? Obviously, you have a plan, but how do you really fit it for the moment for each of these events?
I feel like I am constantly adjusting. Like, mm-hmm. we have to be ready at any moment for anything, whatever the Spirit leads us to do. And so we definitely have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely have a direction, but we also have to be completely listening in every moment. Like, mm-hmm. with them, with our faces and our voices, but in our minds, mm-hmm. we're going, Lord, where next? Where next? Mm-hmm. Because, every geographic location is different.
Sure.
Every arena is different. We just walk, every situation is completely different. So it's not like we can manufacture some kind of plan or process
mm-hmm.
and just apply it to every event. Mm-hmm. It just doesn't work. And that's not really what we ever wanted anyway. We knew
right.
that God had a different work for mm-hmm. every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So we just, and Beth would agree that even in our prayer times before, that we are trying to be really sensitive to what God is doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not just, and not just for our ministries as a whole, but specifically for those women at that particular event,
mm-hmm.
geographically, what do these women have, what have they experienced, what are their lives like, and
mm-hmm.
how can we respond with our leadership mm-hmm. to help, be used by mm-hmm. God to meet them very specifically.
That's right, and most of the time we talk, especially if there's any kind of challenges. Most of the time, Travis and I talk by phone Friday night after the Friday night session.
Okay.
By that time, we're getting kind of a feel for a group, and we know if we need to regroup. But mm-hmm. I'm like him. We go with our plan because
mm-hmm.
we just believe, that you can't just go, I'm just going to be Spirit-led and not be prepared. God does not esteem that.
No.
We want to be completely Spirit-led, but he expects us also so to be prayerful and go in with an outline.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go in with that. I'm often in my spirit kind of saying to the Lord, stick with my notes here. Can you read these notes? This is what I came to do. But sometimes the group is just for whatever reason that we just need to head a different direction.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just mm-hmm. they have that we can sense maybe an overwhelming sense of need. Every now and then, Travis will just feel led from the beginning to call for an altar time and a time of a prayer. Because he can just sense there's a mm-hmm. heaviness in the room, and we need to just, this is the way we need to start.
Okay.
So there's a lot of regrouping. A lot of times it's just like, oh, man, this is just right on course with what we
mm-hmm.
what we felt like God had planned for us. So we have never gotten ever to just sit back and anticipate that it was going to be like it's been.
Well, that was my next question, really. Say it's going in the ideal way. God's following the notes that night. What goes through your mind, and Travis, I'll ask you the same thing, while the other of you is on stage, while Travis is leading worship? Beth, what are you doing? What are you thinking and feeling?
That is such a neat question, and I'm not very often asked that. It was very important to me from the beginning. We were never the team that, they go to the back while I'm teaching, mm-hmm. and I'm in the back while they're doing
right.
worship. I have to worship. That is part of me getting prepared to also hear from God. Let me tell you, if I don't hear from God, those women are sure not going to hear from him through
sure.
me.
Sure, okay.
And so that's a critical time. I go out on the first song, and I am there throughout.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm sort of thinking on several levels at that point. For one thing, I'm having my own experience, and I'm having my own a worship time, but I'm also able to just connect with that corporate group of worshipers
mm-hmm.
and get a feel. I can't tell you what it means to me just to look around and just get a feel for the group by watching them engage with God. I can tell
mm-hmm.
a lot about where we're going to get started. And don't get me wrong, because I don't just look forward to a group if I can tell they're already just like boiling with a fervent love for Jesus. I also love to be in a group where I can tell we are surrounded by people who barely know Him. So that rings my bell too. I just like to know.
Right.
You know, I just like to get a feel for it. And sure. Where I have an advantage over Travis is that he is the first one up.
Okay.
I get to feel it while he's up.
So he tests the waters and you get to kind of hear about it.
And look around and worship with them. I sing every song with them and take part in it. But I can also just sense a little bit of what the Spirit is doing.
Travis, how do you feel when Beth is speaking? What are you doing?
Well, I was just thinking about that when she was talking. I was thinking about how I've had 10 years of getting to hear, you know, the best teaching ever. Mm-hmm. It's my turn for the Love Fest, but now that our events are bigger and there are so many technical things that come into play, screens and words and things, sometimes I'll have to sneak out and listen from the back, but my team and I almost just without missing a beat are on the front row listening to this teaching. And we've had, this is our 10th year and 100 events this year. And our 100th event from the 10 years. And this chick on the phone right here has never taught the same lesson twice. It's been amazing.
Wow.
And I remember our very first year in 1998, and it was our third event. It was in Huntsville, Alabama. And for some reason, I had a cassette tape of, you know, by the third event, I started going, something different. This is something big, and I've never experienced this. And I remember listening to that tape of her teaching at, we taped it on the board, a cassette tape, for crying out loud. I mean, that tells you how long ago it was. And I listened to that tape over and over and over till the thing broke, literally. And I still refer to things, because that was like a watermark moment for me when I knew that the anointing that was on her ministry as a teacher was something for me not to miss, that this isn't just a place for me to exercise my gifts. This isn't just a place for me to make a living. This isn't just a place for me to hang out. This is where God was going to teach me how to live, how to love His word, how to apply it to my life. And for some reason, that for these years, I have the privilege of sitting under this teaching, and I'm just not about to miss it.
Okay.
So and we've done it so much now that I can feel... I feel like I know where she's going, or I feel like I can see where she's headed, and then she'll just turn on a dime, and I'll go, I have never heard that perspective. I've never heard that. It's just really, it's a joy to sit under that.
Well, and Beth, you founded Living Proof Live Ministries in 94, is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Has it developed into what you expected?
No. When I was hearing Travis talk, those things just a couple of minutes ago, I just was sitting here in my house. At one point, I just went down on my knees and just shook my head, like, you know, that none of that will even compute. You know, our nickname for me is Blonder Than She Pays to Be, and trust me when I tell you I pay plenty to be blonde. And it is such a, I come, this is different from Travis, and Travis will, we've all come from our stuff, but I really come from a background of sin. And so it's incomprehensible. All those little pieces won't even go in my head and fit together. I cannot tell you the grace that God has had on my life. Every now and then, if I can just have a clear moment, what I can tell you is that maybe somewhere along the way, God knew that we would never be able to take any credit for it. Never, and Travis would say that too, that no matter what, that there would be nothing to say except that God has had scandalous grace upon our lives, and boy, is He merciful to someone who has just wallowed in the pit, and I'm so grateful to Him. I was telling somebody earlier today, I had the joy, it's a perfect timing today to do this podcast, because I've been with some of the Lifeway team.
Okay.
And some of the ones that really were in on the very beginning of it. I was telling them that, you know, I've never gotten to where I had command of this. I've never gotten. I still get extremely nervous and very anxious. To me, it wasn't a good choice for it because it's never come. That speaking at those arena events and all does not come naturally to me. I don't know who it does, but I don't know that everybody just gets like sick nearly to, you know, to the point of just hardly being able to stand up. But and I don't once I get up there. An interesting thing happens when I hit my knees, whether it's during praise and worship, or whether it's up on the platform, then I will begin to have a peace and a power wash over me. I'm really weird material for it because it's really been hard for my makeup. And maybe even hard for my real makeup.
Well, it's interesting that you have those moments where you just kind of go, why me? Because you've been doing this now, both of you, for 10 years. You're going to do the 100th event here in about a month, and it'll be in the 50th state. I mean, clearly you're having an impact. Women are still coming. Thousands upon thousands of women are coming and hearing you speak. What is it like, Beth, to be on stage in front of thousands of women who are trusting you to really teach them? They're trusting you to give them an experience that they can walk away from and go, I learned something, I grew somehow through this.
Well, that's just exactly it. I mean, I could talk to you, I could spend about 30 more seconds saying exactly what you just said, and I'll work up butterflies in my stomach, because that's exactly it. In fact, you hit it. What I've struggled with for 10 solid years is that my weakness would somehow be stronger than God's strength, that I would somehow be too weak for him to make strong, and that somehow I would not be ready, I would not be prepared enough, I'd not be prayed up enough, I'd not be enough, and that's been, that has been my terminal struggle for all these years, is that somehow they would have depended upon me, and that I would not somehow have cooperated with the Holy Spirit and let him do what he came to do. But, he's stronger than that. And when I can think clearly, I know that. But I have to say back to him, I'm telling you, and I know Travis does the same kind of thing. I know what we come from, both of us in our natural man. I know he will not mind me saying this. We're insecure people in our natural person. And I'm telling you, I have to recite verses. I've been made competent as a minister of your spirit, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I have an all-surpassing power in my jar of clay, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 and 8. I am not cast down. I'm not, I've not been forsaken. I'm telling you, I have to really get in a mindset. I come from a background just a lot of trash and a lot of abuse. So I struggle with that because I still have a hard time believing that I could be, valuable like that. And I'm not meaning to give a sad story. I'm just saying that's the mentality that I fight.
Well, that's the form your spiritual warfare takes, and anyone who is speaking God's word is going to have a form of that.
Yes.
And that happens to be yours. Travis, what for you is it like to stand in front of those women? Do you have rock star moments?
No, gosh. The funny thing is, I was just thinking as Beth was talking, as the conferences have gotten bigger, my trust in my own ability has gotten less and less. To where, the more I do it, the more I know how little I know. And am I making sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
With each time I go, I am a bigger moron than last week. It's just the truth, and it's just a God work, and I don't even know what to say to that. But it's so wonderful. It's like every event is a new canvas that we're just gonna watch God paint. And there have been moments in the past 10 years where I've tried to manufacture a certain moment or to manipulate a certain thing here and there just because it's worked before, and that's just not what God is into. God is into, using his word to change people's lives in the here and now. And
he'll manipulate what needs to be.
Yes, and he's got it under control. And so I've just come to realize that I'm not nearly as big of a player in this big scene as God as I thought I was. You know, that we're just here to facilitate the Holy Spirit doing a work of power through His Word. And gosh, I'm just grateful to be in the room while He works.
You know, Brooklyn, I tell you the truth, as we talk about just the platform team and what Travis and I go through, I was thinking, as Travis was talking, that you would not believe the team that goes together for it. And this is one of the coolest things as we celebrate these 10 years. One of the neatest things is that that we have a whole team of people that have worked together a very long time.
Right.
And I'm talking about all the way to the guys that do the lighting, that hang up the spotlights, that to the graphics guys, to the Lifeway event team, the women from Lifeway that actually, you know, work on it for a solid year, a year and a half before it ever happens.
Sure.
That there's so much that takes place that, you know, we walk up on that platform, but you would not believe what has taken place in order for that is setting an atmosphere for it to even be a teachable moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really, boy, we represent a very large team of people that just work so hard and are all just we're just at God's mercy.
Hmm.
I mean, if something doesn't work, I mean, the fact that it ever does is just Jesus. Hmm. And one of the things that I find my main comfort, and I know that Travis and Angela would say the same thing, is that here's what I do know. I do know that God's word will not return void.
Yeah.
And that even if we just like, Travis, I laugh so often. You talk about two people that are not slick. This is Jethro and Ellie Mae. It is. And we, you know, the fact, and you just can't believe recently in the San Antonio event, several times they had to tell me that I had left out, you know, you didn't make point four, because I go point six. Well, I just made point three. And, you know,
listen, at what point do we stop being Jethro and Ellie Mae and we start being Jed and Granny?
Please, no. I'm not being Jed Granny.
Give it a few years. 10, 20 more years.
Mercy.
I want to say this about what she just shared about there being a large group of people that have been doing this a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I say this with all humility. I've been involved in a lot of different kinds of events. I've had my foot in the music industry. I've had my foot in different churches.
Sure.
And we are united in our goal to see Jesus lifted high.
Yeah.
And these people that lead us they walk upright, and they're out to see Jesus famous. And that goes for Beth too. That there's no room for being lazy with our walk. There's no room for anything that would be even any hint of disrespect to any people that we minister to or that we minister alongside or other people in ministry of any kind, whether we agree with them or not.
Right.
That there's a standard from her leadership and then the leadership of leaders at Lifeway that it's just not going to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really has been a safe place. And I look back and think, well, I started this in my mid-20s, and I'm so thankful for the grace of God, because I've learned, He's taught me, and it's been hard at times, just that there's no room for that. There's no time for that. We need to be about the business, and we need to the business of leading people to Jesus, and we need to do it well and with great care for people's feelings and great respect for His word and His kingdom and His people.
And a holy fear of God. One of the things that I've really believed that if we err here or if we err there, do not let us err on not having just a fear, a reverence in our heart for what God has called us to do. So Travis is right. There's zero tolerance for cynicism.
Mm-hmm.
We don't ever make fun of a group or a person in the group or, you know, behind their backs or kind of, we've never gotten cynical about it. Now, you know, we've been stupid, but we've not been, we don't go there at all. That would be, that would be like one of the seven deadly sins.
Well, you have to live the life that you get on stage and proclaim.
And
I mean,
you better respect the people that you are serving.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Those are lives of such value to God that He'd give Christ for them.
What is next? I know Travis has a Christmas album due out in a month.
Right.
You have the 100th Living Proof Live event. There's just so much going on. Travis, other than the Christmas album, what have you got going on?
Well, we're looking forward to during that 100th event will take place in a little tour we do in October with
right.
Beth, and it's New England Nights, and we're going to hit
beautiful time
mm-hmm. to be in New England, mm-hmm. and
yes,
we're going to hit.
We planned it that way.
There are three states that we haven't been to yet,
okay.
and so we're going to hit those three states plus one other one, and mm-hmm. I'm really, really looking forward to that.
That's awesome. And Beth, what about for you? I've heard rumors there's a new study. Is that true?
Yeah, yes. I've just finished. I mean, we're just literally in the last bit of the editorial process before it goes to press on the Esther Bible study. It's called It's Tough Being a Woman because, mm-hmm. you know, as well as I do that it is.
Yes.
And that will come out soon.
Okay.
In just a couple of months. And I'm like Travis. We're just doing what God has put before us. You know, he said, my word will be a light unto your path and a lamp unto your feet.
But, mm-hmm.
And I always picture that lamp. How far can you hold a lamp? Through the stretch of your arm, and that's how mm-hmm. far you know to take the next step. But Travis said something to the team last event that I thought a lot about. So, Travis, I'm going to talk for you for just a second. But if I tell it wrong, you take it back up. But, you know, as we sit at this 10 years, you can imagine that we keep looking back over our shoulder and remembering, and that's appropriate. Mm-hmm. Deuteronomy tells us over and over again to remember our God and to never forget.
Of course.
And but Travis said he was trying, you know, he's trying to be before the Lord and recount to him all that he had done in the last 10 years. And he said he got the strangest feeling in his spirit as he was praying that the Lord went, you know what, that's all good. But right now, I've got more to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a profound moment for me. And today, when I met with some of the Lifeway team, I asked them, I said, you know, I needed to know from their point of view, many of us have been raised on that experiencing God philosophy that mm-hmm. you look to see what God is doing and you join him. And I said, is God still doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they just said, yes. For now, and that's why. So what we will do now for this season, we'll continue to do this. We have no idea what the next year will hold, because Travis and I both, we want to go with God. We want to go with that cloudy pillar of his glory instead mm-hmm. of we don't want to try to make this happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's too hard and too complicated to not have God doing the thing. So,
sure.
But for now, this is what he appears to be doing, where our two ministries are joined together, and mm-hmm. so, by golly, we're going to do it with him.
Well, thank you to both of you for taking the time to be here. It sounds like Beth, you've had a busy day of meetings already, and Travis took time to come to Lifeway and join us, so thank you both so very much. It's been wonderful to meet you via phone. But thank you. Best of luck to you. I know that we'll be covering the 100th event. Someone from our department will be up there to do the news articles on it. So.
Oh, wonderful.
Awesome.
I'm so glad.
We can't wait. And we just want to thank you for all that you've done, both of you, so far throughout the ministry and what you'll continue to do. We look forward to hearing about it.
Thanks so much.
Oh, it's a blast. Thank you so much for giving this this opportunity to us. And,
sure.
Trav, I love you and your family so much, buddy.
I love you, too. Thank you for putting up with
a couple minutes
this
on the
goober.
Phone.
What a blast.
All right.
Thank you, Beth.
Bye-bye. Inside Lifeway is a production of Lifeway's Corporate Communications Department. For the latest Lifeway news, to subscribe to our e-newsletter, or for media contact information, visit the online newsroom at www.lifeway.com/news.